Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
It's time to get the morning sports news on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to the Kia Studios with John and Hugh on this Thursday. As you wake up this morning and head into work, if you are a Braves fan, guess what? How does first place by yourself sound on May 3rd? How about that? The Braves have done it again. Their win streak goes to four. They've won six of their last seven on the road. They are knocking off the New York Mets and knocking them out of first place, and they did it last night with a combination of two things, the pitching of Sean Newcomb and the hitting, the power, no, not of Freddie Freeman or Ronald Acuna Jr. or Ozzie Albies, but the power of the other guys in the lineup, including Ender Inciarte.
He launches one to deep right. Bruce on the run. He's at the track. At the wall. It's gone. A huge home run for Inciarte on the first pitch.
That was Chip Carey on Fox Sports South. That made it 3-0 and started to break the game open. And then the game really broke open when the Braves went back to back. Here's Johan Camargo going the other way.
High fly ball hammered toward the gap in left center. Nobody's getting that, baby. It's gone. Johan Camargo hits a two-run homer, and the Braves are routing the Mets now.
Yeah, except the route will get even worse because the very next batter was Ryan Flaherty.
There's another rocket off Flaherty's bat. Straight away center and off the wall. He almost hit that one to the apple. And they say it is gone.
Yeah.
He did hit it to the apple. Back-to-back home runs.
Part of a 7-0 Braves rout that is leaving the NL East and the New York Mets and the Philadelphia Phillies and the Washington Nationals to go. Hugh, what is going on in Atlanta?
Fundamental baseball? I would say that's the biggest thing, John. I mean, that's the thing that I would point to. People that I talk to about the Braves, that's what they talk about. That's what one of the things that they wanted to come in and do this season was get back to the basics, and they've done that. And they've had a lot of success with that. You know what the funny thing about it? I think we were having a conversation one time when we were talking about why do you need coaches
right. When
you're a professional? This is why. Because sometimes you forget that instead of, like, trying to do, like all these big things, go back to the little things mm-hmm. and do the little things right. And sometimes you have to be reminded of that. And I think that's what the Braves are doing right now. They're doing all the little things right.
Everything seems to be going their way. They have won 13 of their 18 games against NL East teams, and they haven't even played the worst team in the division, the Miami Marlins, once. They haven't faced Miami until next week sometime. So this is what damage is being done against the Phillies, the Nats, and the Mets. All right, let's get into some of the other stories about the game last night. Number one, Dansby Swanson didn't have a great night and then had to leave the game, and there's some concern about Dansby's health. Here's Brian Snitker after the game.
That last at bat he had, I could just tell something wasn't right. I mean, with the swings and it's something that got a little sore, and I just wanted to get him out of there. I just didn't think it was worth going, and I'll set him tomorrow and kind of will take it day to day. I don't think it's anything big. It's just sore and, you know, just a little rest. I think treatment will be good for him.
All right, so that's the good news on Dansby. We'll see what happens with the lineup today. In the final game against the New York Mets, as the Braves go for their first sweep of the season, sending Julio Teheran to the mound against the Mets. Now back to last night. Sean Newcomb, 7 innings pitched, 8 strikeouts in total command. Wow, Sean Newcomb picks up his second win and looked great.
So far this whole year, I felt really good in control. I've had some of those games with a few 3-4 walks here and there, but I mean, it's just a product of being a little too sensitive around the zone, I guess. But today I was just pounding the zone. I was pretty locked in, so I just kept rolling.
All right, so that's the individual stories. Let's talk a little bit about the team, though, and about where they stand right now. Ender Inciarte talking about the game and this team and where they sit in first place.
We're playing right now like we're going to the playoffs, and that's the mentality we want to keep the whole year. I mean, this team, everybody knows, is an exciting team. We have a great chemistry in there, and we're playing every day to win. So we're doing the things right now, and hopefully we're going to keep it up till the end.
You know, everybody likes to talk about chemistry, but I actually see that. That always comes through the television a little bit, you. This team is, whether it lasts or not, but right now, boy, it's working for them.
It definitely is, John. What you're seeing right now is that want to, that my man Rob Tribble always talks about, that want to. And that's what they're doing. They're feeding off of one another. It's almost like you watch them play, and it's like, who wants to be the guy that makes the play tonight? Who wants to be the catalyst that helps us win? And I think that's what you need in baseball, because you look at 162 games, that's a grind.
Mm-hmm.
That's a hell of a season. That's a long time to play. And most of the time, like, you're playing almost every night. So you're going to have to feed off of somebody else's energy. And I think right now that they have a lot of good guys on the team that have a lot of energy to spare, and they're feeding off of one another. So, you know, if one night if Freddie gets off to a slow start, you have somebody else that's going to step up and make plays and get it going, and then he's going to just follow suit with that.
Well, the Braves are certainly on a roll. A 10-game road trip that began so poorly. Let's not forget the first two games of Cincinnati, where the bullpen melted down twice back-to-back, and you lost to the worst team in baseball. And everybody was kind of going, oh, what is this? Has turned around and, again, six of their last seven, and dominating against the Phillies and the Mets, and they can sweep the Mets with a win this afternoon in New York. That is part of the issue with the poll today, because we're asking now that we're 29 games in and the Braves have gone back into first place by themselves in the NL East, whether or not your expectation level going up a little bit, Wendy.
Yeah, have they increased? You can go to 929 The Game on Twitter, also on our Facebook page at 929 The Game, our Vision Computer poll. Right now, 39% of people are expecting a wild card. 31% say they're just hoping for above 500. 19% NL East champs, and 11% are going big or going home, and they're saying their expectation is a World Series.
Yeah, all right, so 70% are still saying, you know, look, just get to 800. 800 to 500.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, that would never happen. But get to above 500 or get to a wild card. I'm a little bit more optimistic, and the reason I'm a little more optimistic is that, and I know it's only 29 games into the season. I get that there's 133 left to play. You talk about that grind, Hugh. But they have been beating up and feasting on the Phillies, the Nats, and the Mets. They have 13 wins against those three teams already. It's sort of like if you started the season in the NFL, if you're the Falcons and you beat, say, Tampa and Carolina back-to-back to start the season, that counts later in the year. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it counts for your division lead. Yeah,
right.
No question.
I mean,
about
it's
that.
Not like they're beating American League teams. They're 13 wins against the Phillies, the Nats, and the Mets.
Yeah, but put it in perspective, that's only two games. You know what I mean? In a 16-game season.
Right.
And that's how you kind of have to look at this Atlanta Braves. But at the same time, I'm like, hey, man, hell, if it's going well, enjoy it. I mean, that's the biggest thing. Just enjoy it. You know, we got enough gloomy and gloomy stuff going on in our lives and depressing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy something good. Enjoy the Braves right now. I know you probably got, probably didn't get the return that you wanted on your taxes. Did you get the tax returns yet?
Yeah, I got my return. Yeah, I got that.
Yeah, you get the everybody gets the tax returns. You probably didn't get the money you wanted, or you had to give it away. Or, your kid, you might have to get your kid's bumper fixed on your car or something. So just enjoy. Enjoy the Braves right now.
The Morning Sports News brought to you by Shane Company. Blow her mind, not your budget, with an engagement ring from Shane Company. Shane Co., of course, always your friend in the jewelry business. So you can go to our website, rather to our Twitter, and vote in our poll. Will the Braves make it to the playoffs? Will they make it to the World Series? I'd love to have you drop in a comment, too, because we'll talk to you about it on that thread if you happen to be on our Twitter at 929 The Game. Some of the other headlines include the NBA. You should know before we get into the NBA playoffs that last night the Phoenix Suns hired the Jazz assistant coach Igor Kokosov as their new head coach. And this is the first time that a European player has ever been hired as a head coach in the NBA. So Igor Kokosov broke the European head coaching thing.
Congratulations.
And really it sets up the Atlanta Hawks too, because there was a report yesterday that Steven Silas interviewed yesterday. He was assistant in Charlotte, was the interim coach when Steve Clifford got sick. And he interviewed yesterday, and I'm starting to believe that we are getting down to at least understanding where the Hawks are looking. And Jaren Collins, the brother of former Hawks player Jason Collins, was an assistant at Golden State, Steven Silas. We're starting to see that the number of candidates really start to tighten for the Atlanta Hawks to become their new head coach. As for the playoffs, well, last night, the Utah Jazz served notice that they're not going to roll over for the Rockets.
Donovan, left-hand dribble, teeth the defense, off-balance, right-hander short, got it back! Oh, they jammed it, oh my gosh! Oh. I've never seen anyone ever do that! Oh. Holy cow!
Holy cow! Well, it was a hell of a play, I ain't going to lie.
Oh man, that is funny. The Utah Jazz got off shooting early, and a lot of people were worried about whether or not they were going to be able to sustain that. They got it done last night. It's funny because it just seems like just last week, with the Houston Rockets being as hot as they were, uh-huh. We were talking about how James Harden had exercised his playoff demons. Not so fast, man. That was a good look for the Utah last night. Good win, tied the series up 1-1. So yeah, good win for Utah last night.
So the Jazz even it at 1. Now James Harden did have 32 points last night. He did his part in the loss, 116-108 loss. But you can't stop Joe Ingles. Joe Ingles had 27 points. Joe Ingles.
LeBron James went out
who?
There. Yeah, LeBron James. He wills this team.
You know what this reminds me of? He reminded last night that kind of – I had shades of Greg Foster. Do you remember Greg Foster? He got off like one game against Shaq in the Lakers.
Yeah, right. Where did he play? Did he play like at Kansas?
He played in Utah.
I was thinking of college. Yeah, I don't remember. I remember that. Yeah, he had one game where he was – Joe Ingles has 27. Go figure. Out of nowhere. So Utah evens up that series at a game apiece. And after the game, there was some interesting talk from Donovan Mitchell, the young star, the brash star of the Utah Jazz.
You know, in OKC in game 5, we were up about 20, about the same score, and then, you know, we let the lead go. So we couldn't do that again. Dante Exum, Alec Burks, Joe Ingles, everybody stepped up and played well, man. I'm so proud of those guys. The biggest thing is we defended. We'll take this win, but we got 3 more.
Joe Ingles. All right.
I'll tell you what, I like how these series are going because it's not the usual suspects. I think that's the biggest thing about it, John. It's not the usual suspects.
You're right.
It's not outside of the West, I guess. Okay, let me narrow that down a little bit more. Outside of what? Golden State? It's like everybody else, man. It's it's wide open. It feels like it's wide open.
Well, it'll be fun to watch, that's for sure, because I think the East is wide open. If LeBron has to score 50 every night for Cleveland to win, the East is wide open. I know that Toronto blew that first game, but I can see where Travis Schlenk is saying, watch the Raptors come back and watch the Raptors possibly be the East representatives. But that's what Travis says. One other quick note here, and that is there's actually a college football story this morning that's kind of interesting. There's a lot of speculation that Georgia and Clemson are about to renew their rivalry. Now, the last time they played you was back in 2013, 2014. It used to be that Georgia and Clemson played all the time, but they kind of got away from it. And Dabo Sweeney, the Clemson head coach, says that he wants Georgia and Clemson to renew their rivalry and be a border rival every single year. They could possibly play a home-and-home as early as 2021. Greg McGarrity, the AD at Georgia, says, I do think that down the road you're going to see Georgia and Clemson playing each other again. Georgia's kind of moved away from Clemson game for the big non-conference game. You know, they played Notre Dame last year and won. Mm-hmm. And now Notre Dame is going to be coming back to Athens next season. And then in 2020, Georgia's going to play in that Chick-fil-A game at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium against Virginia. But the idea of Georgia and Clemson, especially considering where they currently stand in the hierarchy, man, can you imagine if Georgia and Clemson won two? I mean, knocking heads in Athens or in Clemson on opening day or something,
not,
man.
Not only that, though, John. I mean, I'm not a geographical-type individual, but aren't they like less than like 50 miles apart or something like that?
Yeah,
they're pretty close.
Clemson, yeah, yeah. 50,
they're pretty close.
They maybe 50, 60. I mean, yeah, they're not far, under 100. That's for sure.
Yeah, let's do that one under 100. So that makes me right under 100. Yeah, I mean, but for them to be that close and for them to have such two such dominant programs, I think it would be a no brainer to start that rivalry thing back up again.
Yeah, it would be great for college football too, and really interesting if Georgia and Clemson start knocking heads again, and to think about that rivalry becoming, man. I'm thinking right now, you guys at the Chick-fil-A Classic ought to try and make that happen. You know what I'm saying? Maybe 2022 or something. I don't know what the future schedule, how far out it goes. But, you might want to think about calling a couple of schools around here and saying, hey, would you be interested in playing at Mercedes-Benz Stadium?
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
All that unlimited soda.
Mm-hmm.
76 miles, John.
76 miles. There you go.
76 miles.
The Google
from the University of Georgia to Clemson. 50 sounded so much better, though. It did. 50 sound. I mean, 50, it just sounded better. But it's 76 miles. That's not bad. That's not bad.
Actually, Georgia and Clemson might be, is it closer than Georgia and Georgia Tech? It might be close. It might be about the same distance, right?
I just feel like they should play each other and cancel each other out.
That's the Tech fan in you. I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? I mean, they may be about the same distance between Athens and
69.
Oh, see? Oh, you're talking about, okay.
69 miles, between Georgia Tech. 69 miles.
Man, that's what makes college football, though, different down here than, you know, in other parts of the country where, you know, if you go out west, you know, your rival could be a plane flight away.
Yeah, you could jump on a bus.
You know?
And make that happen. That's a nice little, it's not that far.
I'll tell you what else you can make happen. You can make $1,000 happen for you beginning next week. The National Signing Bonus is back as of Monday morning next week. Be listening at 9 after the hour for your chance to get the code word and win $1,000 in the National Signing Bonus. Well, certainly the story of the day, the red-hot Atlanta Braves and our Braves expert, Grant McCauley. I'm going to ask him if he is, or how surprised he is. He's got to be a little surprised about the Braves start. He's going to join us live after he brings you up to date on the latest headlines. We'll talk baseball with Grant.
You mornings on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Tell you what, it feels pretty darn good to be in Atlanta and be getting caught up in a little bit of Braves fever for the first time in a long time. Because back in the day, which was 25 years ago, when Braves fever first captured this town, I mean real Braves fever, there was some in the early 80s with Joe Torre as the manager. Welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh at Bob Horner, Dale Murphy, and those teams. But it really caught fire in the early 90s, 91 into 92, and Braves fever was running rampant, and that was kind of the beginning of when Dion showed up and the chop and all that, and that great run that the Braves had of 15 straight division titles. But it's great to have it back. Even if it, whatever it tastes like right now, I just want to hold on to it as long as I can. But how long will we be able to hold on to it? Grant McCauley is our Braves and Major League expert, and he joins us after his news anchor duties to kind of fill us in on the blanks. Well, Grant, pretty darn good start, better than I could have imagined.
Yeah, I would imagine a lot of people, if you signed them up to be in first place at any point during the season, outside of the month of April, they would have been pleasantly surprised, if not, you know, over the moon in some cases, just based on what the last three seasons have been. But yeah, I mean, this is a club that's playing good baseball. Hitting-wise, his offense has carried this team, but the pitching is starting to show some signs. We saw one last night in New York with what Sean Newcomb was able to do. This could be a club that could put some things together. It is obviously early in the season, but you're no longer talking about, well, it's been a week, it's been a couple of weeks. Now you got a full month worth of games under your belt. You've played a pretty tough schedule with some from playoff teams from 2017. You've played a lot on the road, and you've done pretty well for yourself. So if you're the Braves, you got to be feeling pretty good about what you've accomplished over the first month and a week of the season.
You know, when you talk about this month and a week, what do you attribute most of their success to? Is it the defense that they're playing, or is it mostly the hitting?
I mean, I think the hitting certainly is what's going to, you know, lay the foundation for winning baseball games. I mean, you've got to be able to score runs, but they have taken a larger scale look and bigger focus on what defensive shifts can do for them in the field. They're employing those at a much higher rate this year than they have been at any other time. And that's just having the analytical data that you have and the spray charts and everything else, getting that information in the hands of players. That's what Alex Anthopoulos explained way back in December when I first got to really sit down and talk to him for an extended period of time at the winter meetings. It was, you know, we're not going to be able to change the entire team overnight. We're not going to be able to make a turnover a 25-man roster, not that you need to turn over all of it, but you're not going to be able to change so many members of the personnel and just turn a team that's been struggling into a team that's going to automatically win 100 games. There are going to be incremental things you can do. And concentrating on defense, I think, is a huge deal. And then also the kind of hitting that they have, the kind of approach that they have at the plate, I think has led to their success because they're aggressive early in counts. They're swinging at quality pitches and they're making quality contact. You put all those things together, good hitting, good defense, and the pitching staff starting to find more answers than the questions they've had in the early going. This is a club that I think is maybe starting to hit its stride.
You know, speaking of that, and you're talking about hitting, and they have had some time in hitting all season long. So is there now a pressing need to bring up Jose Bautista since they're hitting so well?
I think it can only help. That's the big thing that I look at with this, because a lot of folks have said, and I get a lot of this on Twitter, with the, well, what about Johan Camargo? And why is Ryan Flaherty starting? You know, we've got it's fine. We've got those two guys. Why do you need a third guy? Look, the deal is this, and you should know this from watching the Braves the last couple of years. They have not had the full complement of a 25-man roster that was really built with the layers of depth that you need to be able to have the best possible team that you have that you can, you know, night in and night out. In other words, they've played with, you know, kind of a substandard bench, some guys that were maybe spare parts from other teams, some guys that were trying to cut their teeth in the big leagues and may or may not have caught on. Now you've got guys like Flaherty, who's a longtime veteran. Then you've got kind of the, you know, the young kid in Johan Camargo that showed what he could do last year. Then you possibly could bring in a guy that could make an impact power-wise on a team that coming into this year, other than Freddie Freeman, the only other hitter in the Braves lineup 1 through 8 that had hit 20 homers at any point in his career was Nick Markakis, and he hadn't done it in 10 years. So that's why I look at Jose Bautista and see a guy that hits 20 homers plus a year and think there's some value there. And if there's tread on the tire, find out. If there's not, change the tire. That's all you got
to
do.
Grant McCauley's our Braves Major League expert. Plus, just to add to that, if you think about it, really the only bat of note that's a right-handed pop is Acuña Jr. Outside of that.
For Suzuki. Yeah, I mean, well, and that's surprising power.
I mean, it is surprising power at that. That's what Bautista gives you, that right-handed bat, because all the power seems to be from the left-hand side of the plate.
I just want to say I knew Acuña with his small frame that he had that kind of power. I just want to put
you
that
should.
Out there.
You should.
They said he was hitting batting practice into the like the upper deck yesterday.
It doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, you watch this guy. It's what they call light tower power. He doesn't hit cheap home runs. I mean, it's not wall scrapers with him. It's not line drives right down to the corner, just inside the foul pole. I mean, I'd be happy if he hit a few of those too, but, I mean, he's going to hit home runs that are going to go a long way, and he may be doing it for a long time.
We have a poll up this morning on our Twitter, at 929 The Game. We're also talking about it with you on our Facebook. The poll question is, our Vision Computer poll question, with the first place start, what are your expectations for the season now? You can vote World Series, you can vote NL East Champs, you can vote Wild Card, and you can vote above 500 for the Atlanta Braves, and we'd love to have you converse with us. Drop us a line, too, and a comment. Without asking you, Grant, to vote on the poll, I do want to ask you...
To vote on the poll.
No. I want to ask you a question I mentioned earlier, which is I voted for, you know, my expectation could be NL East champions. 13 of their 18 wins have come against the Phillies, the Nats, and the Mets. Is this real?
I mean, the Braves have lost one series this season, and the series they lost was to the Nationals, who, by the way, have won 4 in a row and are starting to maybe find themselves a little bit after a slow start. But it was a series in which you run up against the buzzsaw that is Strasburg and Scherzer. That's what they're supposed to do, and that's what the Nationals are banking on them doing and what they have done the last couple of years. But, I mean, the Braves have handled business in the division, beaten up on the Phillies like they did not do last year. They've been beating up on the Mets as well, which is important because it's not just the head-to-head with the Nationals that's going to decide who wins the National League East. There's going to be a team every year, because there always is, that can't beat the Phillies. There's going to be another team that can't beat the Mets. There's going to be another team that can't beat the Marlins. It's just the way baseball works. That club can lose, you know, 95 games, but you go in there, and for whatever reason, you lose 12 out of the 18 games against them. It happened to the Braves last year with the Phillies. So handling business in the division, I look at them doing that. I look at them winning series. That's one thing that Bobby Cox always seemed to, you know, circle as far as, you know, if you're asking what the strategy is, win the series. That's what they're looking to do, going all the way back to 91, 92. And I'm working on an article for 929thegame.com that's kind of going from the angle of the youth kind of being served a bit in Atlanta and what has led to this start. And it led me to go back and look at the 1991 team and what they accomplished and how they accomplished it. They moved into first place for the first time in 91 in May. They didn't get back there again until August, though, and they dropped as low as fourth at one point. They only spent 25 days of that season in first place altogether. It was an absolute pennant race down to the wire, and they edged out the Dodgers, and obviously we know what happened after that. So it may not be one of those things where you move into first place and you just start setting up shop and that's where you're going to stay. You are going to have to fight. It is a long season, but there's a lot of fun and a lot of storylines that can come out of a season like that, and I think 1991 is a great example of that.
Grant McCauley joining us, talking a little bit of baseball as the Braves and Mets teed up, and the Braves can go for a sweep today. What's the one area of the Braves that has, and you can include the front office, Grant, from coming out of spring training, what's the one area that has impressed you as being far better than you expected it to be?
The offense, hands down. I mean, I don't even have to think about that, because the surprising thing about it was you got into the spring and you thought, well, you know what Freddie Freeman is. You kind of hope you know what you're going to get out of Ozzie Albies. You're excited about the possibility of Ronald Acuña. And then you started looking at some veteran bats and pieces that you put in place, and you just kind of, well, if they can replicate 2017, this club could score some runs. But, I mean, I talked to Tyler Flowers way back when Pitchers and Catchers reported. And he said, look, we're not fooling ourselves. We know we're not going to come in and hit 250 or 300 home runs. We're going to have to do a lot of things right to score runs. And what have they done? They've done a lot of things right. I mean, the way they're running the bases, and again, the approach, which goes back to credit, you know, Kevin Seitzer and Jose Castro, the Braves hitting coaches, they have got these guys early in the count looking for and selecting the right pitches. And, I mean, and it's a club that they don't strike out very much. They walk a ton. They do just about everything you could ask them to do other than, you know, they're not leading the league in home runs. But I think you'll be pretty happy with leading the league in runs scored regardless of how many home runs you hit.
I know you were a big fan of his, but were you surprised that at Soroka's poise that he showed when he got into a little bit of trouble no, the other night?
Not at all. And that's the big thing about it. When you look at the scouting report and going beyond just simply what a guy offers you physically, mentally, his game is so far and above what a 20-year-old pitcher normally has. I mean, and plenty of guys come up and, you know, they've got that fire, they've got that spark, they're competitive, but, you know, maybe the stage gets a little bit big and you have to deal with some of that. And, I mean, he's just a guy that seems to be able to compartmentalize the things that are out of his control and concentrate on what he can control. And what he can control is executing pitch after pitch. And that's what he looks to do. He looks to compete on every pitch. He doesn't take pitches off. He doesn't take innings off. He doesn't pitch to the score. Like, Mike Soroka is not going to change how he approaches a nothing-nothing game, leading 1-0, trailing 1-0, being up 7-0, or being down 5-0. He's going to be the same pitcher. And that kind of mental toughness and tenacity and competitiveness is his X factor. It's what makes him so good.
You know, it kind of occurs to me when the Braves are going to come home just for the weekend against the Giants and they're back out on the road, that we are now at a point where we can ask a legitimate question. What are you more excited about tomorrow night on Friday night? Are you more excited if you go into the ballpark to get the Ozzy Star Wars bobblehead or to see Ozzy hit a home run?
Well, I would hope it's the latter, but I mean, you can have both. That's the possibility that you have this year.
It's a beautiful thing to have both. Yeah. Beautiful thing to be able to have.
Why not be greedy, John?
Okay. That's fair enough. Do you want to vote in the poll?
No. Now you're getting way too greedy.
Well, you said be greedy.
But I encourage people to vote in the poll because it's some very interesting questions, and it's something that I think that a lot of folks, that you know, when you come into the season, you always talk about, you know, it's a clean slate and hope springs eternal and all 30 teams want to get to the World Series, and then you realize only about 15 of them really have that shot to do it, and the Braves are now in that upper half. They may be in the haves rather than the have-nots, and that's where you got to start. It's all incremental. It's all steps. It is, again, I will say this and continue to say it, it's a long season.
All right, I know you can. Give me a name or two that we could actually see, besides Batista, that we could actually see. There's more. This train ain't stopping yet, is it?
No, it won't be stopping yet, but as far as the guys that could be coming up from the minor leagues and at some point this summer, I wouldn't be surprised if Colby Allard's on that list at some point. I don't know if Austin Riley's necessarily got that ETA for Atlanta other than perhaps sometime in September, but for the most part, I think the two guys that you really wanted to see this year that had not pitched or played in the major leagues as of yet were Ronald Acuña and Mike Soroka, and they have arrived. Now, Soroka, I hope he sticks around. It just kind of depends on the numbers game and the rotation, but we know Ronald Acuña is here to stay, and that's a pretty exciting thing.
You can always follow Grant on his Twitter, at Grant McCauley, that's 1C, and all the big write-ups that you have, Grant, on our website at 929thegame.com.
Indeed they are, yeah. And that new article will be up probably sometime tonight, maybe early tomorrow, but it's going to kind of take a look back and a look at what's going on and hopefully a look forward.
That is Grant McCauley, our Braves and Major League expert. We continue and dive into that area. That's Grant's world. What's Hugh's world?
Yes, the world is changing. And it's not for the better. I'll tell you what I mean on the other side of Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You fabulous and very lucky listener.
This is Dukes and Bell.
This is what guys get enamored with. Don't you think it's weird?
Yeah, I'm on.
Carl's stirring it up.
Great for the ratings.
Yeah, well, he's right about that.
Dukes and Bell, afternoons 2 to 7.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Do y'all understand that I played football 10 years in the NFL? So when I start talking like I'm talking, it's because I'm still in football mode, so back up off.
I don't understand it, bruh!
No, but I'm saying that's what I'm saying. You know, you gotta stay focused, man. That's all I'm saying.
Only from the mind
of Hugh Douglas.
Before I get into the wussification of America, I just want to give a shout out to Rashawn Nelson and Dante Robinson, because they had a great opportunity to be petty, just as petty as they wanted to be. I know you don't know the names, John, but there was the two young men that were accosted at the Starbucks. They were arrested at the Starbucks.
Oh, yeah, right.
They settled with Starbucks for $1. So basically, they settled out of court for $1 a piece.
$1.
That's it. They settled for $1, which I applaud them for doing that. One of them was a member of Omega Psi Phi Fraternity. So shout out to the bros for one of your bros making one of the stupidest decisions that he could ever make in his life. He could have been a bazillionaire.
A dollar?
$1.
What's the second part of that, though?
What?
They donated money.
Yeah, they did. But that ain't the part that I wanted to talk about, Daryl. That ain't the part that I wanted to talk about. But you're right. They did. And I applaud them for that. But that's not the story that I want to talk about. I want to talk about how life is changed for us men as we know it. Did you know this, John Freaky, that the Boy Scouts would drop the boy from his name and they will start welcoming in girls next year? Did you know that?
Yeah, I heard something about that they're changing their name. So the Boy Scouts are not going to be Boy Scouts anymore.
No, they're not. The story goes like this. The Boy Scouts of America, in its continued effort to appeal to girls, announced on Wednesday that it would drop the boy from its namesake program next February.
Why did they do it? Isn't there a Girl Scouts?
Okay, I'm about to tell you. The century-old organization also said that it would start welcoming older girls, opening a door for them to earn the organization's highest rank of Eagle Scout. The Boy Scouts, which accepts children 11 to 17 years old, will become Scouts BSA. The change was announced as a part of the organization's new Scout Me in marketing campaign, which features girls and boys. As we enter a new era of the organization, it is important that all youth can see themselves in scouting in every way possible. Michael Serbaugh said, the chief executive of the Boy Scouts of America, an umbrella organization that will retain its name, said in a statement, that is why it is important that the name of our scouting program for older youth remain consistent with the single name approach used by the Cub Scouts. See, to me, listen, and I'm glad Wendy's sitting here because I'm a little bit upset. Because as a young man, one of the greatest joys of growing up was finding out the beauty that is a woman. And what I mean by that is, remember when the Little Rascals on TV and we had the Female Women Haters Club, the He-Man Women Haters Club and all that other stuff?
Indeed.
And we used to talk about girls were icky and things like that. We couldn't stand girls and they were stinky and they were smelly and they did all that. That was a rite of passage for us because we were separate and we hung out with boys. And we thought it was cool to be with boys and girls were icky and we didn't have to deal with girls until one day it changed for you and you started looking at, especially, and it always happens after summer break when somebody comes back, little Sarah comes back and she's wearing her hair a little different and she's looks different. She's a
bruh. Yeah.
You know what I'm getting at.
Yeah,
I know.
You know what I'm getting at. But yeah. I'm just setting it up.
We're trying to save a visit to the office too, though, bro.
It's radio, though. I'm setting it up. It's radio.
We got you.
But that was the whole beauty of being like a Boy Scout or a Girl Scout. So I have a question for the BSA of America now. Does that mean that we get to sell the cookies now?
Because do we have to throw away the popcorn? Right. Yeah, right.
No, you have the popcorn.
See, to that point right there, I'm glad you said
that's
that,
your
Wendy.
Popcorn.
That's why I'm glad you said that. Because now you wanna be a part of the Scouts, not you per se, but women. So now you don't want we can't get the cookies.
Was anybody here a scout?
What's up with the cookies?
I was a Cub Scout. So are they gonna do that to Cub Scouts?
No, they're just gonna.
No,
they're just gonna
for,
keep it.
I think it's for older. Is it?
It's for 11 to 17. What's up with the cookies, though, Wendy? What's up? You gonna share the cookies or what? You sharing the cookies?
Yeah, you
no.
got to. We gotta have to.
That's Girl Scout.
Because I was a Boy Scout.
You can't. And now what's gonna end up happening is this: there's gonna be boys that want to join the Girl Scouts just because.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Just because.
Are they going to change their name?
Listen, we need, like, it's okay to not do things that boys do. It's okay. And that's what the problem is. It's okay to be different. Everybody does not have to be the same.
And I just feel like you can do the same thing in Girl Scouts as you do in Boy Scouts.
No, you can't.
You go camp.
Nobody, you can't sit out in front of the Kroger and sell popcorn. Nobody's buying that popcorn.
It's not the same, Wendy.
It's not the same, Wendy.
But you still go camping. You still learn how to
but you ain't
slanging
stuff. Those girls that slang those cookies are winning every year.
You mean their parents are winning?
Well, the parents, the daughters are benefiting from it, though, because moms go ham for their daughters when it comes to those cookies. They set up shop in front of stores. I don't see moms going ham like that for the son selling that popcorn. Dad usually buys all the popcorn because he doesn't want his son to look bad.
Maybe
that ain't
Dad
right.
Needs to be more aggressive.
No, it sounds like they just need to take them all and just merge them into the Scouts.
Yeah, just the Scouts of America.
Sorry,
yeah.
the Girl Scouts
and sell cookies.
Sorry, the Girl Scouts have more of a work ethic than the Boy Scouts do. So our work ethic as a Girl Scout.
See,
women
that's what I'm talking about. And that competitive nature. It needs to stay that way.
You don't work harder. You have a better product. You just sit in front of a Kroger and
your mom
try to sell cookies.
It's just like that whole.
Marketing on your popcorn.
It's like that whole, what's that, how did that little girl name, what's her name, Little Magic, little Honey Boo Boo?
Yeah, Honey Boo Boo Child.
Because the pageant kids and the moms, yes. It's the same thing. Moms going hard for their daughters and stuff, man.
Toddlers
no, that ain't right.
Tears.
What's up with the pop, what's up with the cookies though, Wendy? If y'all want to take the Boy Scouts away from us, y'all got to come up off them cookies.
Maybe y'all just need to do better marketing for your popcorn and they would sell better.
I don't agree with this. This is setting us back. Even further than we've already been set back.
Sorry, the work ethic.
Yes, it is. It's
just
it's ridiculous.
Our marketing was better.
It's ridiculous. And it's ridiculous to settle with Starbucks for a buck.
For a dollar?
No, I think it's great what they're doing, though. But they're putting it back into the community, which I think is great.
Which
and that
is,
proves
yeah. I mean, I can't argue with that.
I'm curious.
But
Before the Girl Scouts went, because it goes Cub Scouts.
To Hugh's point, they did settle with Starbucks, though, for an undisclosed amount.
They did. Okay.
They did.
Fine.
Yes.
Okay. So the Boy Scout. Okay. It goes Cub Scouts, Weeblos, Boy Scouts. Right. Still.
Weeblo. Yeah. I remember the Weeblo.
And because I was all three, and then as it goes Brownies and then something else and then Girl Scouts. Right. Is there a hierarchy there?
It was Daisy's Brownies and then I didn't do that. I stopped after being a Brownie.
All because you just want something that you couldn't attain before to be an Eagle Scout. That ain't meant for you,
Junior.
It ain't meant for you to be an Eagle Scout. Get over it.
Daisy Brownie Junior. Sorry, Hugh.
That's the problem. You can't tell people, you can't tell the women's no anymore. No! No!
You got that go-getter mentality.
You can't have this. No!
Well, that's what Keanu Neal plans on telling all the offenses in the NFL. You can't have this. No! We'll hear from Keanu what he had to tell the media yesterday when he met with all of us. We have the audio. We'll play it for you next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.